We're opening up the mailbag to get your questions and comments. We'll talk about the return of Victor Oladipo, bringing back a familiar face to fill a void in the roster, Duncan Robinson, Jim VP, and much more. All that coming up next.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Heat Nation. It's a Tuesday edition of Locked On Heat, your daily podcast covering all things Miami Heat. However you may be listening on YouTube, Odyssey, or your favorite podcast app, thanks so much for making Locked On Heat your first listen every day. I'm David Ramil, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Wes Goldberg. This episode is brought to you by Truebill. Truebill is the new app that saves you money by helping you identify and stop paying for the subscriptions you don't want or need. It can even negotiate better deals on those you want to keep, like, say, a YouTube subscription to Locked On Heat, the best podcast available. Thanks so much for joining me, Wes. I can't wait to get into this episode of the mailbag. We love opening up the mailbag here on this show, but you know what else we love? We love connecting with our fans, and I can't wait to see so many of them heading out to Lincoln's Beer tomorrow in Miami for our first ever Locked On Heat watch party.
Yeah, technically tonight, I guess, because we're putting this up on a Tuesday. So yeah, tonight, Lincoln's Beer Brewery, we're going to be there 6:30. Game starts 7:30. BOGO Beers, they're expecting us. They're going to have the Heat game on the television. We got a really great spot. We're super excited for everybody who's already told us that they're going to come out, whoever's going to show up. Come by, have a drink, hang out, talk hoops. It's going to be a great time.
I can't wait. It's so exciting. Look, the Pistons might not be all that great, but you know what? It'll be fun just to connect with our fans and to watch basketball again. So anyway,
every time Isaiah Stewart runs out of Miami Heat player.
I don't think he'll be available for Tuesday's game, right? I mean, I don't think anything official. Yeah, okay. All right, let's get into the mailbag because, again, we got a lot of great questions. We put out the call earlier on a Monday, and you know what? Everybody responded. So we are so grateful for all of you who did. And we'll start off with this, a comment from our YouTube, which, again, you should be subscribed to. This comes from No Lies Allowed. He or she writes in, everyone is talking about Steph for MVP, but Jimmy, quote, my name is not James, end quote, buckets is playing the best basketball of any player in the L right now. He's playing at an all-NBA first level on both offense and defense. Jim VP. Wes, we talked about Jimmy's MVP case recently, but I think it's still going strong, although the national media may not necessarily be in agreement. What do you think?
Well, first of all, I love the idea of just calling the NBA the L because it's not the L. It's technically the A, right?
Well, I guess, but people call it the league, man.
It the league? No, I just love it. It's just like people call it the league as a nickname, and the nickname for the nickname, it's the L. I'm all about calling it the L. I'm here for the L. And I think Jimmy Butler is very much in the conversation for the most valuable player in the L. Look, Basketball Reference has their MVP award tracker, which I really like. It doesn't do so much projecting, right? It's like it's more like if the MVP were voted on today, who is the most likely to get the most votes, right? And right now it's got Stephen Curry at 48%, 47.9%, 48%. Nikola Jokic getting 16.7% of the probability. And then Jimmy Butler's right there at third at 11.7%. And I think the only reason that Jokic or Steph are in front of Jimmy Butler is that Steph's numbers are ridiculous. Again, 28.4 points per game for a 15th. Durant's behind Jimmy Butler. Durant's at 6.8% probability. Jimmy Butler's at 11.7% probability. I don't know because Jimmy Butler's numbers are kind of better.
Yes.
You know, like across the board defensively. I also think that there's some Brooklyn fatigue a little bit, even though they haven't even won a championship, it still feels like there's a little bit of, because of the Kyrie Irving thing, they're always in the headlines, stuff like that. Yeah. Steph's Warriors are 15-2, best record in the NBA. He's playing out of his mind. He's 45% shooting overall, 41% from three-point range. He's shooting like I don't think he's missed a free throw all year. He's shooting 96% from the line. But, you know, obviously he's in that number one slot. Jokic is just doing it all at that same level he was doing it before. 26 points per game, 13, 14 rebounds, 6 or 7 assists a game. He's still getting the steals, still getting the blocks, and playing heavy minutes. But Jimmy Butler, like I said, he's doing it on both ends of the floor. 25 points per game, 5 or 6 rebounds a game, 5 or 6 assists per game. It's like clockwork. And, you know, I think for a while in the beginning of the season, he was averaging like 23 points per game, but he's been on a nice little scoring push here with 29, 30, 32 points pretty regularly. And that's kind of, you know, pushing that average up, David. And so if he keeps doing that, And I think he will. I think he's going to keep scoring closer to like 28 points per game than he would 22 or 23 points per game. I think he's going to – and the Heat keep winning, obviously. I think Jimmy Butler will be in the MVP conversation the entire season. He'll get votes.
I think he will. I think he absolutely deserves them. He's been playing phenomenally well. This isn't a knock on what Steph can do. It's basically irreplaceable what he's able to contribute to the Warriors and to the NBA in general. The fact that he's created a whole new game basically almost hit by himself, I think, goes kind of unreported or kind of under the radar to some degree. But Jimmy, a phenomenal player. Jokic also doing a fantastic job. I know the conversations about Nikola Jokic have not necessarily been positive ones here on this podcast of late, but he is still a great player. Jimmy is going to get some consideration. I just don't know if it's going to be enough. And that's my biggest question is what does Jimmy have to do in order to propel himself further into that conversation? And he has to, at least in my opinion, have a spate of a couple of 40-point games, something he has not been able to do outside of those performances in the NBA Finals. The Heat would have to go on a prolonged win streak, probably 10 to 15 games, maybe once, maybe even twice throughout the rest of the regular season. And if he's able to do that, then he'll get himself further along that conversation. And look, we've seen it before. We've been talking about the league for the L for a long time. You and I have been reporting on the L for some time. And the narratives also change. They often evolve over the course of a season. That's always a big component here, is that the storylines start to build. And look, Giannis is kind of being overlooked. A hell of a player. The season's not going quite as they expected it in Milwaukee. I don't think there's necessarily any kind of finals hangover or anything like that. They've been unhealthy. They just haven't had their full roster. Once they do get that full roster available, then all of a sudden people will go, oh yeah, that guy Antetokounmpo, not too bad a player himself. So we'll see how it plays out over the course of the season. It's a great conversation. Jimmy absolutely deserves it. Moreover, though, I don't think he cares. And we talked about this recently, too. None of those awards matter to him. It's all about winning. I think it would be a nice feather in his cap, a cap that he'll put away somewhere in the closet and never wear again. So to be honest with you, it's probably not something that's ever been a goal for him.
Well, you mentioned Giannis there, too. And I think once the Bucks get healthy, I'm not worried about Milwaukee. They're 9-8 right now. I don't think anybody's really worried about Milwaukee. It's all the injuries. They're going to go on a run. They could still finish with the best record in the Eastern Conference. Like, that's not out of the question right now. But I think for Jimmy Butler to win it, the Heat are going to have one of the best two records in the East, right? They're going to have to either be better than Milwaukee or better than Brooklyn. You know, those two teams that we had at 1A and 1B in the Eastern Conference. If you end up with a better record and a better seed than one of those teams who are the, you know, the quote-unquote favorites in the conference, then now you've elevated yourself to, okay, now you've got that narrative of being better than everybody expected, and who do we have to give credit to that? And I think Jimmy Butler would be the first guy in line that you would give credit to. You're absolutely right that as the season goes on, you need like big time games in a big stage. And I'm looking at the Heat schedule from February 3rd to March 3rd. They're on four nationally televised games. You've got a TNT game against the Toronto Raptors in Toronto. You've got a TNT game against New Orleans. That might get flexed out if you could still do that, especially on a Thursday night. You've got an ESPN game in New York at Madison Square Garden. You've got a TNT game in Brooklyn. Those two games in New York City, David, could be huge. If Jimmy Butler comes out and outscores Kevin Durant in Brooklyn or outplays him in a win, drops 40 or 50 in Madison Square Garden or something like
that. Now you're talking.
Right? That's what you're doing. And that's right at the end of the season where it really matters. So, I think that there's room for Jimmy Butler to do it. I don't really care if he wins the MVP. I think it would be cool if he were in the conversation. I think when we look at a player's resume, it shouldn't just be the MVP awards that we count. I'm all about like the top three, the top five finishes in the awards race, because I think that gives you a good snapshot of the players who really mattered and really moved the needle in that individual season. If Jimmy Butler ends up in the top three or five of the MVP final votes, I think that's awesome just by itself.
Yeah, no, well said. And Jimmy certainly can, you know, deserving that recognition. I think it's so interesting how, just to wrap up this segment, you know, after his performance in the playoffs last year, so many people had written him off, kind of overlooking what he had been able to accomplish just months before, taking away the fact that it was a terribly long season and a short offseason prior to that for the Miami Heat. And that's why Jimmy Butler was not as impactful. And look, that roster was not as well assembled as this one is. So now that the roster is a little bit better, you're getting some key contributions from other players aside from Jimmy Butler. I think now you're starting to see why this team is so good and why Jimmy is the team's best player. But we'll talk a little bit more. We'll move on in the mailbag. We've got some questions about Duncan Robinson, Myers Leonard, and Tyler here we'll get to next. But first, Wes, why don't you tell our listeners and viewers all about Truebill?
Well, that's the sound of money, and it sounds like another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. In case you don't know, Shopify is a complete commerce platform that lets you start, grow, and manage a business. The subscription-based software allows anyone to set up an online store and sell their products. Shopify store owners can also sell in physical locations using Shopify POS, our point-of-sale app, and an accompanying hardware. Shopify gives entrepreneurs the resources once reserved for big business, so upstart startups and established businesses alike can sell everywhere, synchronize online and in-person sales, and effortlessly stay informed. Scaling your business is a journey of endless possibility, and Shopify helps you make your entrepreneurial dreams come true. I love how Shopify has the tools and resources that makes it easy for any business to succeed from down the street to around the globe. Shopify powers over 1.7 million businesses from first sale to full scale, reaching customers online and across social networks with an ever-growing suite of channel integrations and apps, including Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Pinterest, and more. It allows you to gain insights as you grow with detailed reporting of conversion rates, profit margins, and beyond. So go to shopify.com/lockedonNBA, all lowercase, for a free 14-day trial and get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Grow your business with Shopify today. Go to shopify.com/lockedonNBA right now. That's shopify.com/lockedonNBA. Thanks for making Locked On Heat your first listen every day. And if you're not watching on YouTube, it's not the end of the world. We don't hate you, but throw us a subscription there. Look, we're at almost 400 subscriptions right now on our brand new YouTube channel. Love the support. Help us out. Get us to 1,000 subscribers. Even if you're not watching the show on YouTube, just throw us a bone. Throw it. Smash that subscribe button, as the kids say, and help us get to 1,000, because that's when we get to start monetizing the channel and make some money off of it. And everybody likes a little bit more money. So we appreciate you subscribing to YouTube and helping us out with that.
Absolutely. Well said. Let's move on to the mailbag. We've got some great questions coming up. And this one comes in from William. He got it right at the deadline before we started recording this episode. So shout out to you, William. He writes in, how well does Duncan need to play over the next 4 years to be worth his contract? 12 to 15 points per game on 40% from three? Better on defense? Question mark. Right now, he's at 10.6 points per game and 33% from three, which isn't ideal. He did make a few drives to the basket last game. I would love to see more of that. Wow. Yeah. Okay. I will start off by saying, before we start getting into this, the worth is contract language is always a little bit difficult for me to handle, because I hate, you know, dehumanizing players like this and just breaking them down like this. Like, we've seen it for years. I've always had a problem with, like, the way the conversation around seven-time All-Star ISO Joe Johnson played out, because everybody always viewed him through the lens of that contract and everything else. And you start to see it in Al Horford. It's been happening for years around the league. So I hate to look at Duncan as one of those guys that's viewed as undervalued or a ripoff because he's getting this money. So I'll just, you know, that's my prologue to this answer. But what do you think in terms of him providing the best value? Let's use that language from now on.
Well, in the great words of Jay-Z on So Appalled off of My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, which celebrated a birthday on Monday, would you rather be overpaid or underrated? And I think the obvious answer is I'd rather be overpaid than underrated. Sure. So if Duncan Robinson is a little overpaid, I don't care. Good for him for going and getting the bag. To me, Duncan Robinson is a ceiling raiser, not a floor raiser. And what I mean by that is you're not paying Duncan Robinson that contract to make you a playoff team. You're paying Duncan Robinson that contract to win a championship. And to me, Duncan Robinson's value is kind of the same as Ray Allen's value was to those big three Heat teams. If you just hit the threes in the right moments and you're spacing the floor and you're kind of making those lineups work, you know, Ray Allen helped space the floor for LeBron James and Dwayne Wade. Duncan Robinson's job is to space the floor for Bam Adebayo and Jimmy Butler. That's his job. Okay. And he's doing that job even now. He needs to make 40% of his threes. No questions asked. Has to do it. That's his only job, is to make threes. I'm not on this same thing, the same wagon as people's like, oh, he needs to be adding to his game. He needs to get a post game. If Duncan Robinson ever posts up, the Heat offense is in a terrible position.
Like Spo will walk out onto the floor, arms waving like he does when he's calling for a timeout, and he'll just stop the game right there. He will not allow a post up from Duncan Robinson.
No, like there's no just shoot 40% from three. He'll be worth the contract if the Heat go far, make a deep playoff run, if they win a championship, if they get to the finals. If they are one of the best teams in the league over the course of his contract, he'll be worth every cent of that contract.
I will say Duncan has spoken about this many times, either in postgame pressers, one-on-ones with us, or even on his own podcast when it talks about his role as a three-point shooter. That's the only thing the Miami Heat wanted to do. It's the rest of us who are obsessed with, well, can he get to the hoop? Can he do? He have a post-up? You know, all the other things. They don't care. They just want him to shoot. They've been telling him that from day one when he was just on a two-way contract and spending time in Sioux Falls. He wasn't there to attack the basket. He wasn't there to do anything else but stretch the floor, to your point. So that's all they want from him. They're perfectly happy with it, what he's doing right now. Unfortunately, the shot wasn't falling for most of the early part of the season, but he'll come around. He always does. It's not that big a deal. We've seen this time and time again. I'm not concerned about Duncan's shooting. I know you're not, Wes. I know most of our listeners probably aren't. But you see him miss a game or two or maybe miss a shot here and there, and you kind of start to think about, well, what else does he do? He has improved on his ability to get to the rim. He has improved defensively. So he's reaching whatever benchmarks that we've all set for him. I think he's accomplished those. Moreover, though, I think if he's not able to capitalize on his one strongest skill, which is three-point shooting, it comes back to a point that you made on yesterday's podcast regarding the strength of this roster. You know that if you're looking for a three-point shot, there's probably only one player who's going to be able to get it up, and that's Duncan Robinson. Maybe you're targeting Kyle Lowry, but the way he's been struggling this season, I don't know if that's necessarily the case. Yes, he stretches the floor, but other than that, you've got P.J. Tucker, not necessarily a threat.
No, I think maybe Tyler is the only one kind of nudging his way into that conversation, but that's a different kind of three.
Right. That's in the starting lineup too, though. But if you're a starter, if Duncan's in that starting lineup, which he has been, and he will continue to be, then basically you only have to worry about the three-point line because of Duncan and maybe from Kyle, and you give up that corner three to PJ every time because that's just the nature of the game. You have Jimmy, who's a non-shooter. You've got Bam, who's a non-shooter, and all of a sudden the floor spacing is hindered by some degree, especially when Kyle's not hitting his shots. That makes Duncan's job more easy. It's more about the roster and about the fact that you have two great playmakers, all around great players in Jimmy and Bam, who aren't at this point in their careers shooters just yet. In Jimmy's case, likely to never be a shooter. So I think that kind of closes things up for Duncan a little bit, makes his job much harder, which is why he has to work off those dribble handoffs where he's much more comfortable in order to get that kind of space and be able to get that shot off. Look, I will say, I think there are moments when he kind of forgets that he's 6'8". He plays a little bit smaller than he should because I can't see many players that he couldn't get that shot over. I don't think he has to go through that much work.
That's why you see Spo. That's why you hear Spo always, he needs to be taking 11, 12, 15 threes per game. It's like, there's not a lot of, unless Kevin Durant or Paul George is on him, which they should never be guarding him because you've got Jimmy Butler and Kyle Lowry and Bam Adebayo on the team too. He should be taking every, like what NBA tracks is like a tight or a closely contested shot. That doesn't really apply to Duncan Robinson, which is one of the reasons why he's been one of the best high-volume three-point shooters in the league over the last couple of years. Next question, David.
Yeah. Billy from Cleveland, who is a great longtime listener and supporter of the show, writes, first of all, I am over KZ. That means KZ Opala. Of course, nothing personal, but trade him for the bare minimum amount cash or a second rounder that won't ever convey. We've talked about this before, Wes. He's just not good enough to be on the team that is aiming for a championship. With that being said, letting him go creates two roster spots. One should be saved for the buyout market, whether it's John Wall or another veteran that Riley steals that can make a surprising impact. But for that second shot, writes in Billy, what about Myers Leonard? Unlike many people who get into the kind of trouble that Leonard created for himself, he seems to have made a genuine effort to repent and learn from his mistakes over the past 7 to 8 months. He would be the third string center, but Bam's missed some games so far, and he's capable, Myers that is capable of playing backup when Dedmon is filling in that larger role. Plus, he's like a 39% shooter and a guy who seemed to fit well with the team prior to his inexcusable mistake. Should Myers Leonard get a second chance in Miami, as long as he continues to build upon what he's done to educate himself since last March? Now, I should add, a recent post by TMZ.com showed Pat Riley being accosted at an airport, I don't know exactly where it was, by some form of paparazzi who had all the questions he could possibly have asked Pat Riley in the world and chose to ask Pat specifically about Myers Leonard and Myers' dream of returning to the Miami Heat. Pat's response, Myers Leonard will play basketball somewhere. He didn't specify Miami, of course, nor could he, but I don't know. That's all we got as far as TMZ is concerned. That's the level of reporting you get out of that establishment.
Yeah, look, you have an opportunity to ask Pat Riley anything in the world, and the first thing you do is reach back several months ago, and you're like, what about that backup center that got released for anti-Semitic remarks? What about him? What do you have anything to talk about? You have anything? It's like that reporter hadn't seen a Miami Heat headline since that happened, and he saw Pat Riley in the airport, freaked out. It's like, I got to ask him something. It's my job. Like, there's so many other ways that he could have gone. He could have gone with all the stuff that Billy was talking about in the first part of this question. Hey, are you interested in John Wall, Kevin Love, another star next to Jimmy Butler, like whatever it was.
Okay. I'm surprised he didn't ask about LeBron leaving to Cleveland or something like that. You know,
that would have been to me more interesting.
Sure.
Than Myers Leonard. Look,
a little dated.
I don't want Myers Leonard on this team. It's not even just because of the anti-Semitic remarks and all that stuff. Like I do believe if a guy is fully changed and showed remorse, and you know, by all accounts he has, but whatever, man, without getting into all that garbage, he just really wasn't all that good. Like, can we just remember that? Like, he wasn't very good. He wasn't a consistent night-to-night player. He's not a good rebounder. He's not a good defender. He could shoot threes, but that's about it. Why would you settle for Myers Leonard at this point? Like, why would you go with, like, a ham sandwich where when you could go after, like, you know, a steak sandwich or something like that? Like, where maybe Kevin Love is going to be available on the buyout market. Like, that's who you should be targeting. Those days of Myers Leonard, Kelly Olynyk, like Trevor Ariza, like all that's gone, man. Like, higher.
You're not disparaging Kelly O here on this show, are you?
No, of course not. I'm just saying, okay, those days are over. That's in the past, David. Like, we're all about Nostradamus here, looking into the future, looking ahead.
He's no Luke Babbitt, that's for sure.
He ain't Babbitt the rabbit. Myers Leonard is not a difference maker. I don't understand. Like, Pat Riley's probably right. He'll play basketball somewhere. It might not be in the L, David. It might be overseas somewhere. But I don't think he'll be playing basketball for the Heat again. I don't think that there's any motivation to circle around that wagon again, kick that tire again, whatever. I agree, Billy. You got to get rid of Kaziak Paula. He's just not a functional player on a championship team. You got to go out, maximize every single roster spot possible. You're not doing that with Kaziak Paula. You wouldn't be doing it with Myers Leonard. I think you could be doing it with John Wall. You could be doing it with Kevin Love. You could be doing it with Thaddeus Young. You could be doing it with Eric Gordon. I mean, there's a lot of other guys who I think would be better options than Myers Leonard.
I agree with everything you said, and yet I also think Miami would consider it. I think there's the connection there. The fact that he was part of that playoff run, there was mutual respect there from Eric Spoelstra. I know you weren't covering the team necessarily, although you were, of course, paying attention to what was happening with the team. But the way Spo talked about Leonard in that lineup, in that locker room, his ability to just be a steadying presence, you know, during the difficult times in the Orlando bubble and everything else, I think there was such a great level, again, of mutual respect between Myers and him being such a strong advocate for Heat culture, which is something that's, you know, widely mocked around the L. I think he would consider bringing back Leonard back. I mean, again, all other things overlooking and you know, assuming that Myers makes a very public statement, which is probably what the team would require, I think that they would probably consider it just because of that floor spacing ability and everything else. But having said all that, you've already got Omer Yurtseven on the roster. He's another young big who can stretch the floor. And why are we trying to stifle his development? I've always been a guy who's probably not necessarily focused on the development aspect of players or roster building somewhat. I've always been a long-time advocate for keeping Udonis Haslem on the roster. But UD's already on the roster, and if people complain about him being on the roster, I don't know why you would bring back somebody like Myers. As much as I think the Heat would consider it, they've got other bigger fish to fry right now. They don't necessarily need to bring in Leonard. They would probably, as you, to your point, would rather bring in a star name that can contribute much more than what Myers could. Myers, off the court, aside from his obvious issues, I think would be a good fit, at least from what everything we've heard from teammates and things of that sort. But off the court or on the court also, he's not necessarily the best player either. So anyway, let's move on, because at this point in time, we've focused too much on Myers Leonard more than anybody else in the NBA, except for maybe TMZ.com. But let me tell a little bit to our listeners about Truebill.com. You probably haven't heard about it, but do you know why free trials renew without your consent? It's a business scam out to get you. Greedy corporations are always trying to steal your pocket and your money. Download Truebill to take control of your subscriptions. I love it. Listen, I had Truebill and was able to save me, I can't remember, dozens of dollars on one subscription that I thought had run out. I'd signed up for a long time ago, didn't really need it. It happens nowadays. You click here, you think you're getting that $1 free trial and things of that sort. Next thing you know, 6 months have passed and you're getting charged 20, 30, maybe even hundreds of dollars per month on these kinds of things. Truebill takes care of that. It's the new app that helps you identify and stop paying for subscriptions that you don't need anymore. On average, people save up to $720 a year with Truebill. Companies make subscriptions that are hard to cancel. That's just the way it is. But Truebill will cancel your unwanted subscriptions with one tap. Truebill Concierge is where you need them to cancel unwanted subscriptions so you don't have to. Truebill has over 2 million users and it's helped them save over $100 million. That's fantastic. So don't fall for subscription scams. Start canceling today at Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. Go right now. Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. It could save you thousands a year. That's Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. And when it comes to stability, let me tell you, there's nothing more stable than a family-owned business that's been serving auto parts customers online for over 2 decades. That's rockauto.com. You could go to a traditional chain storefront. Maybe they'll find the parts that you're looking for when they look them up on their computer. They can find them in their warehouse if they happen to carry them. Why go through all that? You've got a computer at home or in your pocket, which means you've got access to rockauto.com. Their easy-to-use website is so easy to navigate. You'll find everything you want with just a few easy clicks, and you get to save money. Whether you're a do-it-yourselfer or a mechanic or anybody in between, you want to change something in your car or truck, then rockauto.com is the way to go. So go to rockauto.com right now. Find all the parts that are available for your car or truck. And then when you go to the section that says, how did you hear about us? Write the phrase locked on so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. That's rockauto.com. As a reminder, that you can always reach out to us via email at lockedonheat@gmail.com or via Twitter. Use the hashtag AskLHeat. Be sure to please subscribe to the show and leave a review. And of course, make sure to come out for our watch party on Tuesday at Lincoln's Beard Brewery off of Bird Road in Miami. It'll be a great time, and I can't wait to see you all there. This first question, as we're wrapping up our mailbag, comes from Dr. Corito. I apologize if I am mispronouncing that name. Hope you're doing well, considering the improvement he's shown so far this year. Who would be a fair comp to Hero in terms of his upside? CJ, I imagine meaning CJ McCollum. Lavine, a much less athletic version, is what he said. And Kevin Martin. Wes, I don't know if we've necessarily talked about the comp before. Maybe in terms of his rookie season and the incredible performance he had in the Orlando bubble that put so many people, at least put him on so many people's radars. Yeah. But in terms of his overall improvement this year, what is a fair comp for Tyler Hero?
I asked that to his trainer over the summer, Drew Hanlon, his skills trainer. I asked him that exact question. He gave me two names. He gave me Zach LaVine, which was one of them, and Bradley Beal, which were two of his clients. But man, I see both of them. I think those are both really good comps. Bradley Beal is a really underrated mid-range game, great footwork in that area. Zach LaVine, same thing. Both of them got better as three-point shooters as their careers went along. We're seeing that right now from Tyler Hero again, kind of nudging his way into that 40% from beyond the arc kind of range there. So, I think Zach LaVine, Bradley Beal, those are my comps. And we're talking about his ceiling. Those are my comps, yeah.
But in terms of Beal, like he seems like he's just a better shooter overall than Tyler is. And in terms of LaVine, the athleticism seems to be like a great factor that would separate the two as a fair comparison. I kind of lean more towards the CJ McCollum one. I think he's a secondary star, a guy who's just flirted with all-star selections in the past because he puts up big numbers, but he also happens to share the floor with one of the best players in the league, and Dame Lillard. And I think that's kind of where Tyler sees, at least that's where I see Tyler kind of evolving, like a potential all-star, a guy who could be in that kind of consideration, but the roster has to change. Like you can't have a team with Jimmy Butler, who we just talked about as a potential MVP candidate, Bam Adebayo, who is a perennial all-star's choice, or at least in the periphery there, Kyle Lowry, a Hall of Fame player, et cetera, and then still look at Tyler and say, he's the guy who's going to put up 20 to 30 points per game. He's already doing it. A phenomenal season from him so far. And yet I don't know if I just don't see the comparison with the other two players, because although they might be great scorers, just like Tyler is, the LaVine athleticism is what kind of separates them from me.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's not a perfect comp, right? Like, Tyler Hero's not finishing over the rim the way that Zach LaVine is. I think Beal, like, that's a really high ceiling. Like, Beal's sort of similar athletically to what Tyler Hero's at right now. He is a really good shooter. But like I said, Tyler Hero is getting better as a shooter as his career goes on. There's no reason why he couldn't hit Bradley Beal levels as a shooter. Internally, the Heat have talked about Devin Booker as a comp for Tyler Hero. I think that's fair, too. I think you're right. Guys like Devin Booker, guys like CJ McCollum, guys like Beal, who have a mid-range game, who are, you know, very much like pure shooting guards in that way, can run a little bit of pick and roll. But you're right. Like you say, more of a secondary type of guy. I think all of those are really good comps. I have no problem with any of them. And the fact that we're having conversations about Tyler Hero, and putting them in the conversation with those kinds of guys, that means that the pick has been a good one. And I've said this before about Tyler Hero. I think he's the ultimate ceiling raiser for this Heat team, even maybe more than Bam Adebayo, because when you have a guy who can create his own shot and make tough ones from 3-point range and shoot 32 footers, and do all these things, like in today's NBA, that stuff matters so much.
Like we talked about this in the first segment quickly as we wrap up today's episode, but you know, Jimmy, a player not very likely to be able to exceed the 30-point plateau. He has done it. Certainly he can. Tyler is the player on this roster who can reach that plateau much more easily, I think. And the thing that's keeping him back or holding him back to some degree is the opportunity, the usage rate, the shots. He's not going to be able to put up that shots because he's not the main focus point of this offense. Not yet. And that's something that could be an evolutionary step for him down the road. Thanks so much for making Locked On Heat your first listen every day. Remember that every episode is always free and available wherever you get the show. So make sure you subscribe to get the best coverage available. Make sure to also check out Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. This is David Ramil signing off. Thanks for joining me, Wes.
Wrap it up, B.